Isaiah, the 45th chapter, hear now the word of our Lord. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I have girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, Who begettest thou? Or to the woman, Who hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabins, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, take them counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Amen and amen.
I want to pick up where we left off last week. If you recall, our subject was Islam and Israel. And we saw that there is indeed a world conflict that's going on. Some refer to it as World War III, but it's more than that. It's a universal struggle that continues. It's the struggle between darkness and light, Israel and Islam. We last week looked and said that there would be two basic questions that we would be looking at. One was, who owns the land? And the other one is, who is God? Today I want to pick up on that subject of who is God. I would say, based on what we learned last week, I would say to the U.S. State Department, it's not the film, stupid. It's the land. We saw last week that the land was promised to Abraham. The covenant was made, not with Ishmael, but with Isaac. Ishmael becomes the father of the Arab nations and the father of Islam. It was because of a big mistake by Sarah and Abraham. And the world actually has been paying for it ever since. God said that Ishmael would be a wild man, and I think that's what we see today. The descendants of Ishmael, the Arab nations, those that are involved in Islam, have become the wild men. And Abraham prayed that Ishmael would become a great person, a great nation, and the Lord answered that prayer as well. But today I want to look at the other question that surrounds the conflict between the Arabs and Israel, between the Middle East and now the West, that's tied into this circumstance, the conflict between Islam and Christianity, and the question, who is God? Christianity and Islam both claim their God to be the God of Abraham. Is the God of Abraham the God of Elijah Muhammad? And you say, well, no. Well, my question to you is, how do you know? What evidence is there? If someone pins you on that, what do you say? How do you know the God of Abraham is not the God of Elijah Muhammad and the God of Islam? The Bible refers to God, the God that we worship. They give him titles such as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator, the Maker, Savior, Father, Son, Shepherd, Lion, Lamb, Counselor. There's 25 others, but how do we know that it's God? Equally, the Quran uses terminology and attributes that are the same: the merciful, the king, the provider, the distributor, the clever one, the last prophet, the compassionate one. You get these same kind of adjectives with regard to the God of Elijah Muhammad and the God of Islam that you get from the God that we worship, the God of Abraham. But these are only attributes. So how do you get a handle on who is God? You see, the name God tells us very little unless it's qualified in some way. As it stands, the way we use it, God is but a common noun. Let me give you an example. Keisha, Rosemary is your mother. Erica, Rosemary is your mother. So the word mother then is a common name in the English. The name mother is a common name. Keisha, who is your mother? Rosemary. Erica, who is your mother? Rosemary. So Rosemary, her proper name is Rosemary. We won't give her a title. Maybe if I give her a title, I could give her a title, but she doesn't have a formal title. She might be a Mrs., she could be a lot of things, but we don't have a title for her at this point. She's mother to these two. That's a common name. But you must have a proper name to identify her. Who is she? Which mother is she? She's Rosemary. Now, we take that a little bit further. And we're still in the English, let's go to the United Kingdom. And there is a mother in the United Kingdom. And she has a title. Her title is Queen. Who is that? Elizabeth. It would be her proper name. That's her proper name. Her common name is Mother. She has a title. She's Queen. But you have to have her proper name in order to identify which queen is she. She is the Queen of the United Kingdom. So she has this title. Let's go one step further in English. The common name is God. Does he have a title? What is his proper name? Well, we got to go to Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3 to find the name. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. So here we see the proper name is of this God, this common name of God is I am that I am. What does that mean? I am that I am. Well, it probably is a little bit better understood by saying, I am that I am, or I am he who is. I am he who exists. It comes from the verb haya, which means to exist. It suggests timelessness, the timelessness of God. That Haya, we find that in the word hallelujah. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. We get a little bit better understanding from a verse there in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 helps us to some degree. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Him which is, and which was, and which is to come. in the book of John in chapter 5, Christ says, before Abraham, I am. So you begin to get some idea of what this proper name is. It's a timelessness of God. It suggests that he is, was, and will be into the future. Now, there's a title. And the title is the name Lord. That is a title. And it's a little bit unfortunate as to how the translators got to that. But we'll get to that in a minute. Up to this point in Scripture, which is 2,513 years, man did not know the name of God. It wasn't until it was revealed to Moses. Abraham didn't know his name. Abraham only knew what we're going to see here in a minute. He knew him by the Almighty. Let me give you some examples of that. Turn back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17. I'll give you three or four examples of this. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. That's what Abraham knew him as. Turn over to chapter 28 of Genesis. Chapter 28, verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Another example, the 35th chapter of Genesis. Chapter 35, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Turn over to chapter 43 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 43, verse 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother in Benjamin, if he be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. God Almighty. There's only one place that the Lord is used in the term Lord is used in the first 2,500 years of man's existence. And that's found in Genesis chapter 13. We won't go there, but it's the only place. And there's some argument as to why that word shows up there. But I think the key is the fact that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And Moses knew the name of the Lord. So he had put that in there. So we go back to the chart that I've got up here, as Tim refers to it as a spreadsheet. This is old school, Tim. The common name of God in those verses that we read is Elohim. It means the Almighty. God Almighty. This is what Abraham knew him as. The proper name then is Yahweh. I am that I am. That's how this translates, I am that I am, into the English. Yahweh. In the Greek, it would be Jehovah. And there's a title that's equivalent to Lord, which is the word Adonai. I think it's A-D-O-N-I-A. I think I told you wrong. It's A-D-O-N-A-I. Adonai. That's what we have in Hebrew. English, God, Lord, and I am that I am. Hebrew, Elohim, Adonai, and Yahweh. For centuries, we have clung to these impersonal titles of Lord and the impersonal word God and deprived ourselves of a lot of understanding. If you will go back and read what Dave read in Isaiah chapter 45 and look in your companion Bible and see where the word Elohim is used and see what is used for the title of God and so forth, you'll have a much better understanding of what he read. Now, in biblical times, Yahweh was spoken, and later it became replaced by Adonai, a mere title. Well, how did that happen? Well, the translators, the Hebrew word for Yahweh, when they translated over here into Lord, they used the exact letters, which is J-H-W-H. And that's how we got Lord. The translators went the easy way. That's where the word Lord came from. But we lost a lot as a result of it. And I'll give you some examples. Turn to Psalms chapter 8. And it will fortify what I just said about Isaiah chapter 45. This is a little bit easier here to illustrate. Go to Psalms chapter 8. And this is a perfect example of some of what we have lost. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who is God? That's like saying, O President, our President, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Obama might like that, but O President, our President, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You can't tell who is God. What that really says is, O Yahweh, our Elohim. Or it could be the other way around. And there's some other names like El Shaddai, which are the equivalent of Elohim in a different context. But you can't tell from that who is God. Let me give you another example. Turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah, I should have used Isaiah 45, but it didn't. Isaiah 42, chapter 42 of Isaiah, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I am the Lord. That's a title. That's not the name of God. We know what's assumed. We assume that that's our God, but there's no way to really tell. That's his title. It'd be like saying, I am the president. That is my name. Another example, Proverbs chapter 18, page 8. 89, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Well, what is the name of the Lord? We don't know. Not by what the English translators have done to us. The name of the Lord is Yahweh. The name of the Lord is I am and I am. One more, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm just jumping around here because this goes all through Scripture. We assume, we know, and we do know, but it's not clear to the rest of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 6, page 248, verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Well, what about the God of Islam? The God of Allah? Some say that all roads lead to the same God. Well, let's see. The first thing to understand is that Ishmael did not know the name of God. Turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Now you got to realize we're 2,500 years into the Old Testament when you get into the Exodus as they begin to leave Egypt from the captivity. Exodus chapter 6, verse 13. Excuse me. Deuteronomy. No, wait a minute. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 2. I'll get it straight here in a minute. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. Because the name of Jehovah was not revealed until it was revealed to Moses. Ishmael had been dead 282 years before the name of God was revealed. And the scripture tells us that Ishmael, as a result of his deal with Hagar, with Abraham and Sarah, he took off, and it says he went to Hevaliah, which is part of Saudi Arabia. And he went there without knowing the name of God. He went there only knowing the Almighty. And so all of his descendants would not have known the name of Yahweh. Let's go back to the chart in Arabic. The common name of the God of Islam is Allah. And if you ask a Muslim who is God, he will say Allah. And if you ask him, what is his name? Same thing. Allah. God, the God. Or the God, God. It makes no sense. Who is God? Allah. What is his name? Allah. He has no proper name. Allah does not. It is a God that no one knows. Islam had 365 gods at one point, up until Elijah Muhammad. And Elijah Muhammad decided that Allah was the one true God. And the Quran teaches that Allah is unknowable and inaccessible, that he cannot be described or he cannot be revealed. And this is because he does not exist. He has no name. He is a complete fabrication made up by Elijah Muhammad, conjured up in his name, conjured up in his mind, who is the one God who has never been revealed or who has never known his name. It's easy to see that the God of Abraham is not the God of Islam. Prophetic scriptures, unlike the false gods, describes to us the true God. He gave us his name when the covenant was made with Israel. When he chose his people, he gave us his name. When he entered into a marriage relationship with them, he provided his name. When he presented himself as creator, counselor, king, priest, etc., over and over again, he revealed himself and his name. When he revealed himself to Moses, Noah, Joshua, Paul, the 12, he made known his likeness and his image. And he is a living being with a name. He revealed himself through the written word. Now the New Age movement comes along and it's perfect for Islam. The Bible teaches that before Christ returns there will be a world ruler and religion all rolled into one. Economic, military, political, geographically dominated by evil. And we're already seeing that, I believe, as ignorance proliferates around the world about Yahweh. The New Age movement teaches that man already has the divine within himself. It teaches that God is not transcendent, therefore something or someone outside of man. They teach that it's within you already, that God is all things, not one thing, that God is a force, and that every man possesses this spark or this God within himself. So a God without a proper name, and that's what we have in Islam, fits this philosophy very well. And their idea is that man is then on his way to becoming like God. It's the humanist aspect that we hear so much about. Who is God? Yahweh is God. He is Lord. He laid the foundations of the earth as Elohim. He stretched out the heavens as Elohim. He has established the cornerstone as Elohim. He has determined times and seasons as Elohim. He is above time and space as Elohim. He spoke everything into being by his word. Elohim he was. He revealed himself as Jehovah or Yahweh. And he let us hear the sound of his voice in the Old Testament as Jehovah. He made himself for man to see and experience as Jesus Christ. He limited himself so that men could find him as Jesus Christ. He squeezed himself into the flesh as Jesus Christ. He betrothed himself to a nation as Jehovah. He humbled himself as Jesus Christ. He lived as one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. He made known his place, plans, and purposes. He is the most holy one as Yahweh, the Almighty. He has come as close to man and has revealed himself as any God could, because he is the only one God. He told us his name. He loved us all. Yahweh is the God of Abraham, not Allah. There is no such person as Allah. And at the second coming, the descendants of Israel will be, as we talked about last week, made to hear that Yahweh is God. Made to see that Yahweh is God. Made to understand that Yahweh is God. And that he has given the land to Isaac and not Ishmael. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for the fact that we know who is God. And we're grateful for the salvation that we have through him, that he loved us. We're grateful for the written word that explains to us who you are and that you loved us. Pray that you would continue to be with each of us here as we struggle to come to a better understanding of your written word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.